Southside, good morning. Good morning. Y'all look good, man. I tell you what, y'all look really, really good. Thank you for showing love to our college students by wearing blue today. It's really, really simple. Thank you. You look good. Me and my son have on matching t-shirts today. That's how big of a day it is today. We got to have matching t-shirts. College students, I'm going to try to keep my enthusiasm at about a 6 or a 7 out of 10 because I am so amped that you're here, all right? And if you don't know, so last week I asked everybody to wear blue as a sign to show you all that we're committed to you, that we love you, that we see you, and we're excited that you're here. So I'm really excited. I'm amped. I've been looking forward to this day. So thank you for being here. We're glad that you're here. Any college students that aren't sitting over here, not that I don't love you, I just don't know where you are, okay? I know where they are. I see the hand in the back for like an auctioneer now. Way to put your hand up. I appreciate it. Also, if you can do me a favor, if you work on UK's campus in any capacity, I'm not going to ask you to stand. Will you just raise your hand for me for a second? Just take a second. Keep your hands up high. Just look around church for a second. You can put your hands down. For those of you that work on campus, Big Blue Sunday, yes, it is for the students, but it's also for you. We're a church that also, we love campus. And yes, there are over 33,000 students on campus, but get this, there are also 16,000 employees on campus as well. I'm not good at math. That's close to 50,000 if I'm right. So what I want you to know, if you work on campus in any capacity, this Sunday is for you too. We see you. We love you, and we are so glad that you're on campus because you being on campus means that the gospel of Christ can go forward. So what I want you to know is if you work on campus, we are in your corner too. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to spend some time together with you today. When I was in college, my baseball coach had an interesting way of allowing our team to pick team captains. He brought us all together in our locker room in a meeting. And he said, today, each of you will complete a foxhole test to see who our captains will be for the year. Now, this foxhole test was designed to make us ask ourselves one question. And the question was this, who do I trust to be fully committed to me in the midst of conflict? When things go haywire, who can I trust that will stick by my side? You see, actual foxholes were used by soldiers in the military in the midst of war. They were designed for two purposes, to protect and to provide. And if you've ever seen an actual foxhole, you know that it is a literal hole in the ground. It is dug out by those who would be inside of it, and guess what? It took a lot of work. Not to mention, you got to be aware of the war that's going on around you. It took strength, effort, and endurance to build. One Marine said that those who witnessed war could not accurately describe it as it was. In his own words, he said this, they can only try and fail. But he continued, he said this, if you shared a foxhole during combat for one night, words would not be necessary to explain anything to you. You see, a common experience in a foxhole with a fellow comrade would unite men exponentially more than 1,000 words of explanation to someone who wasn't there. One night in the foxhole, no words need to be said after that. You see, in that foxhole, you were rained on. You were shot at. You were shivering from the cold, and the list of difficulties and obstacles could go on and on. You see, in that foxhole, trust was tested and commitment was on trial. Who you shared your foxhole with could be the difference between death and life. This was the person that you trusted with your life. You see, you had their commitment and they had yours. And it was with this backdrop that our coach asked us, who would you have in your foxhole? So before we start, I ask you this, who's in your foxhole? Who would you have today? Who do you trust that much? Who would be in it with you? In the midst of battle, who would you choose to fight alongside? Now, when we read Mark chapter 2, we pick up on the life of Jesus as he returned home to Capernaum. While he's at home, Mark describes the scene this way. And many were gathered together so that there was no more room, not even at the door. In our words today, we would say the house was packed. In my vernacular, that joint was deep. If you don't know what that means, I'll tell you later on. That house was packed. There was no more room. There was nobody getting in and there was nobody getting out. Now, Jesus had his audience and he began to do what he does better than anyone. What does he do? He begins preaching the word to them. But as he's preaching, there's a slight interruption in his teaching. And this disruption wasn't just someone that sneezed loudly or coughed repetitively. Instead, this interruption was four men decided to remove a roof above his head. Think about that. We think a sneeze is loud. Imagine if this roof started to come off. You'd really be distracted. And outside of that information, Mark doesn't give us much information about these men. We don't know their names. They're referred to as they. We don't know their names. We don't know how far they traveled. All we know is in Mark 1:45, it said that people were coming to Jesus from every quarter. We don't know how far they traveled. We don't even know what happens to them once the miracle is finished. But one thing we do know is that their commitment to their friend was unmatched. Without question, their commitment to their friend was like no other. I would dare say these four men were foxhole-worthy friends. People you want in battle. They were foxhole-worthy. So as we think about that, here's the question I'd love for us to consider this morning as a church. How can we, Southside Church of Christ, be a foxhole-worthy church for UK's campus? How can we be a people that embody the commitment of the four men in this story? How can we be a foxhole-worthy church to a campus that is a mile and a half away, 20 minutes to walk to? I'll time you. How can we be a foxhole-worthy church? And as we think about that question, I want us to examine three commitments that we learn from these four men. And it's within these commitments that we see the commitment of a foxhole-worthy church that, guess what, has a heart for the campus, has a heart for students, has a heart for faculty, has a heart for those who come to UK. The first commitment is found in verse 3. It says, "And they came, bringing to him," that him is Jesus, "a paralytic carried by four men." Now, if you look at the words "bringing" and "carried" from this verse in the Greek, each of these words carry the connotation of bearing something. And to bear something is to carry the weight of something, to support it. And based on Mark's description of these men's journey, we don't know if these four guys carried their friend for 10 minutes or 10 miles. The distance of their journey is unknown, but here is one truth that we do know. These men were committed to carrying the weight of their friend no matter the distance. It didn't matter how far, they just said yes. And students, if we can be honest, some of you have an unknown distance to graduation. Amen. All right. We won't get too serious this morning. For some of you, it may take 3 years if you came in with dual credit. If you did, hallelujah, I did not. For some of you, it may take 4 years. And for others, we're just going to pray until you get there, right? 6, 7 years down the road. What are you majoring in? I don't even know. I just go to class. We're going to pray for you in that way. For those of you that are not in school, but you are college age, or just in general, you also have unknown distances as well. But no matter the distance, no matter your distance, here's what I want you to hear. Just like those four men, this church is committed to bear the weight of whatever season of life you will go through. The reality of life is that there will be great wins and tough losses. Times of great rejoicing and times of great sadness. There will be moments, get me, when you feel like you can't take another step. I can't go anymore. My legs are too heavy. I'm too weak. But there's also going to be moments, praise God, you feel like you're walking on the mountaintop. Not all of life is bad, but not all of life is good either. You will have ups, you will have downs, but our commitment to you is to be there with you. It remains the same. No matter the season, we will bear the weight with you. We will walk with you. That is our commitment. But students, within this commitment, you also have a role to play. You don't get off scot-free. Here's your challenge. It's hard to bear a weight that we don't know you have. It is really hard to do that. So in the midst of our commitment, we also need your honest communication. So when we ask you, how are you? Or how can we pray for you? Those aren't just trivial questions. We actually mean it. So if we ask and you don't give us an honest answer, it's hard to bear the weight with you. In the midst of our commitment, we need your honest communication. How are you? Trace, I'm struggling, man. Trace, I'm actually doing really good. I'm going to be amped with you. I'll go to a 10 real quick. It's hard to bear it with you if we don't know. Our desire is that you trust us enough to share your season of life with us. Because here's what's awesome about a church that loves college students. In a culture that is flaky, we will be faithful. In a culture that is flaky, our promise is to be faithful. And the beauty of Christian faithfulness is that it is rooted in something deep. It is rooted in love. And that leads us to our second commitment found in verse 4. It says, and when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. That alone just blows my mind, okay? I could sit up here for days. And when they had an opening, they made an opening, they let down on the bed on which the paralytic lay. I love the imagery that the NIV uses with this verse. NIV says, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. I mean, these dudes were clawing. They were digging. They were moving dirt on their friend's behalf, huffing and puffing like Dan singing that song, right? Love you, bro. That one just came to me. That one in the notes. That one, I'm sorry. We can talk about it later on. Anyway. They were clawing. They were digging, moving dirt. They didn't care that Jesus was preaching. They didn't care. There was a crowd. These men were completely unashamed about their actions. And why were they so unashamed? They were completely unashamed because they loved their friend. They love him so much that nothing was going to stop them from getting him to Jesus. And before we move on, I think there's a really healthy question that we can all ask ourselves from this. You see, here's the reality of life. Each of us, every single one of us is on a mat. Whether we believe it or not, our mat is being carried by someone. And whoever carries our mat affects the direction of our life. So here's a question I would beg each of us to consider. Who are you allowing to carry your mat? And on top of that, where are they taking you? Are they bringing you closer to Jesus or farther away? Who are you allowing to carry your mat? Now, here's the flip side of that. We are also carrying someone else's mat. And as we think about that, here's the question, the other question I think we need to consider. Where are we carrying them? Are we taking them closer to Jesus, or by our words and actions, are we taking them farther away? You see, foxhole-worthy friends do their best to take people closer to Jesus. A foxhole-worthy church does their best to take people closer to Jesus. Why? Because we love them. And we actually believe that Jesus is the best person for them. Hear me, to truly love someone is to point them to Jesus. To deeply, affectionately love someone. There is no greater thing that I can do in life is to point people to Jesus. That's a foxhole-worthy friend. That's a foxhole-worthy husband. That's a foxhole-worthy brother, sister, aunt, uncle, no matter your title. That's the point. That's the beauty of loving someone deeply, is to point them to Jesus. So here's our second commitment to you, students. Because we love you so deeply, we are committed to point you to Jesus at all cost. Whatever symbolic crowd or roof we encounter together in life, our desire is to get you up close and personal to Jesus, that you could wipe the dirt off his tunic. To get you up close and personal to him. No person
can ever take Jesus' place in your life. So our hope is that we can be a people that help you see him more clearly. Our desire is to invite you, hear me, to invite you by our love towards you to get to know Jesus more intimately. Our commitment to point you to Jesus is really, if you think about it, a request from us to you. And the request is this: will you allow us to carry your mat? We're strong. We're ready. We got strong legs, healthy lungs as a church. Will you allow us to carry your mat? And if your answer is yes, our promise is to point you to Jesus. And church, if the answer be yes, this is our commitment to do this. In the midst of this commitment, there is also a challenge for us as a church to consider, and it's found in verse 5. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." You see, the faith of these men was seen through their actions. Their conviction of who Jesus was propelled them to actually do something. Their belief that Jesus could actually heal their friend led them to remove a roof. Get that, while Jesus is teaching. That's not even courteous. He's teaching. I don't care. Get the sticks, move the timbers. They were that committed. Get this, their faith dictated their walk. So here's the question for us, church. What will Jesus see when he looks at our faith? What will our faith propel us to do for the students and faculty at UK? You see, our faith in Jesus will affect our pursuit of others for Jesus. How will our faith in Jesus propel us to pursue UK's campus for the sake of the gospel? Faith, whether you believe it or not, is a big deal in the pursuit of others. Faith is also essential for seeing the power of Jesus displayed in our lives. We see this play out in Jesus' response to the scribes and his command to the paralytic. After Jesus perceived in his spirit that the scribes were questioning him, he says this in verses 8 through 11. "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." Here's what I love about Jesus. Jesus always knew when to seize an opportunity. He was perfect at it. He was great at it. Throughout the life of Jesus, he never misused his power. He never misused his authority, but rather, he chose the perfect moments to display them. And each of his displays of authority were in perfect alignment with the Father's will for Jesus' purpose and ministry. In this moment, in Mark chapter 2, it is no different. In a crowd that questions his authority to forgive sins, Jesus sets the record straight. And he does so by telling the paralytic to rise, pick up his bed, and go home. And what was the result of this command? Verse 12 says this, "And he, being the paralytic, he rose," get that for a second, "and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all. So they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Here is the result of Jesus' command. The result was that this man's life was completely transformed. And it's within this transformation that we see the ripple effect of changed lives. You see, the ripple effect of transformation is that others notice the change too. This man's transformation greatly affected everyone else in the house. And here's what's so awesome about that. Jesus longs to transform our lives as well. So students, here is our final commitment to you. We are committed to seeing God completely transform your life. And when I say transformed, I mean to make you look more like Christ. To look more like Jesus. Here's what's crucial to know. Each of us is becoming something. Don't miss that. Each of us in this room, 8, 18, or 80, each of us is becoming something. John Mark Comer said it this way: if we are not being intentionally formed by Jesus himself, then it is highly likely we're being unintentionally formed by someone or something else. You will be formed. The question is not will you, the question is by who or by what. Yes, our commitment to you, students, is to point you to Jesus so that Jesus can transform your life. But as you can imagine, you still have a role to play in this. Here's your part. Transformation does require obedience on your end. Transformation does require obedience on your end. And when I say obedience, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about legalism. When I say obedience, I'm talking about obedience to the way of Jesus. And obedience to the way of Jesus is living out the teachings and the rhythms of Jesus. What does that look like, Trace? Reading the Bible. Simple. Spending time in prayer. Loving your neighbor. Sitting in silence. Coming to church. Finding a discipleship group to be in. The habits of a Jesus follower are not designed to weigh us down. They're designed to give us life. Is that not what John 10:10 says? I've come to give you life and life abundantly. The way of Jesus is not burdensome. It's life-giving. The question we've got to answer is, are we willing to be obedient? Life is there. Does he have my commitment? The transformation of the soul happens over the course of time as we stay committed to walking with Jesus. We cannot transform you. Only the Spirit of God can do that. But we are willing to stay with you in the process. Why? Because just like the paralytic man's transformation had a ripple effect on the whole house he was in, get this, your transformation too can have a ripple effect on UK's campus. Your obedience has an opportunity not just to change your life, but to also invite others to do the same. It's not just about you. We desire that for you, and so does Jesus. But this transformation into looking more like Christ has a starting point. And the starting point is the same for every single person. And that starting place is seen in Jesus' first words from the text. He says, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Here's the crucial truth that I don't want us to miss. Christ-like transformation begins with the forgiveness of Jesus. Christ-like transformation begins, its starting place, its origin is with the forgiveness of Jesus. Our greatest need, our deepest need in life is to be reconciled into a right relationship with God, our Father. And this only happens through the forgiveness of Christ, the forgiveness of Christ that was paid for on Calvary by the blood of Jesus and cemented in the resurrection of Jesus. The starting point of being transformed into the image of Jesus is to accept his forgiveness by surrendering our lives to him and choosing to walk with him. So here's the beauty of the gospel for us this morning. These words of Jesus are still being spoken to us today. Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. The forgiveness of Christ and the transformation of your soul, the only thing that awaits that is your acceptance. It's there. Will you say yes? And our desire is that if you've never accepted this forgiveness, this is not just for college students, this is for everybody. If you've never accepted this forgiveness, that today would be that day. There's no day like the present to make the best decision of your life. No better day than today. And for those of you that have already accepted it, we love to know how we can walk alongside you in your journey in looking more like Christ. So as we stand and sing, my prayer is that each of us will be open to the Spirit's leading in our life. Let's stand and sing together.